Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, March 12th. I'm Ray Graff. We are on track today with three experts in the studio to talk about trains at Model Train Collecting. Together, Jeff Stedge, Doug Pafaro, and John Pasil have more than 75 years of experience buying and selling trains. If you have a question, and it's a surprisingly popular topic on this program, just get in line. Trust me. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Trains, your calls. Coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today's program is all about trains, and we have three experts in the studio to keep everything on the rails. First up is Jeff Stedge. He is an avid collector of Lionel and other O-gauge trains, particularly American and German trains from the early 20th century. He's also well-versed in local railroad history, especially the New York Central line. Finally, Jeff is co-promoter of the Albany Train Show, which is the longest-running train show in the Capital District. Doug Pafaro also collects Lionel and other O-gauge trains. He has 30 years of collecting and model railroad experience. His knowledge of local railroad history focuses on the Delaware and Hudson lines, as well as the New York Central. Doug, co-promoter of the Albany Train Show. Finally, John Pasil, has more than 50 years of collecting experience. He specializes in standard and wide-gauge trains from the early 20th century. He's also well-versed in early short-line railroads in the Capital District and the Adirondacks. Got a question about trains? Now's the time to call. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Doug, Jeff, John, welcome back to the show, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for having us, Ray.
Yeah, it's always great to have you here. And before we get started with the fun, let's talk about the fun you have coming up this weekend, Knockwood. What do you got going on?
We have the Albany Train Show, which is at Polish Community Center.
Oh.
It is 225 Washington Avenue Extension there in Albany. It's going to be the 14th of March, which is the Saturday, 9 to 3.
Yeah.
There will be quite a number of vendors there with trains and train-related items. We will have our face painter there.
I'm sorry, what?
A face painter for the young engineers.
I see. Okay, so you're not going to have your face painted, presumably.
I may.
It may not be a bad idea.
Ray, what are you saying?
Draw your own inferences. And when is this?
This is this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Now, I don't want to get into this is a welcome respite from sort of the news of the day, but, there's stuff going on. Are you sure this event's going to happen?
As of this very moment, yes. We are.
You're keeping an eye on it, I hope.
We're going full steam ahead, as they say, in the railroad world. So,
and all your vendors are online to do this? There's a bit of a nervous tension in the country at the moment.
There is. And, we've had most of our vendors. We've contacted them, and they are with us. So they haven't jumped off the train yet. So.
And is there a website just in case people want to find out more?
Yes. It's www.albanytrainshow.com.
And this is, how many years have you done this?
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen The Princess Bride. As a movie.
Oh, well, it's very popular. My daughters and my wife, they love that movie.
Well, if you remember, the character that Cary Elwes plays in that is Black Pirate Roberts.
Right.
And he wasn't the original Black Pirate Roberts. There was a whole series of Black Pirate Roberts.
Right.
He just happened to be the last one.
Yeah.
We are the Black Pirate Roberts of the Albany Train Show.
Okay.
So we've been doing this show for about 6 years now.
But how long has the train show been going?
You know, it's funny. I'm trying to get the beat on that, and it looks like it goes back to the early 70s.
Wow.
So it's been going on that long. And different venues and different,
you know,
through different viruses. So
go for the face painting, stay for the trains. That's the motto. Jeff Stedge is here, Doug Pafaro, and John Pasil. It's the train program here. The number is 800-348-2551. Tell you what, you brought some cool stuff. We'll talk about that in a minute, but let's grab a call or two before we do that. Let's go to John in Colony. John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a very old, large Lionel locomotive. I don't recall the gauge of it, but the cow catcher broke on the front of it. And I was just wondering if that's something that could be repaired, and did I really devalue this train?
Did you break the cow catcher on purpose?
Of course not. I dropped it.
Oh. And that's the way that usually happens. That's not a that's not a unique situation to have happen. So they can be repaired. It depends on the engine itself. Some of the cow catchers, they make aftermarket replacement pieces for those. But depending on how much of a part of the casting it was, it might be more expensive to replace the cow catcher than it would be just to replace the frame. So, yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, absolutely can be looked at.
But as far as value, it probably did a good chunk on the value right
there. It doesn't help it.
No.
You know, it's not like chicken soup. It doesn't help it.
But there will be people at the train show who would be able to tell you what's needed.
Oh, there you go. Well,
yeah, I'll have to bring it.
Well, John, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We go over to Mark in Deerfield, Massachusetts. Mark.
Yes, Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question regarding the history, of the trains in the community, in the New England corridor. What caused their demise? Obviously, you know, it's been over time, but if they could speak to a little bit about the some of the trains are coming back. The Montrealers back, and some of the old tourist trains are starting to return. But I would love to see more. So many of the tracks have gone. If they could talk about a little bit about the history of the New England Corridor train legacy.
All right. Who wants to have at that?
Well, I can start with basically you had, of course, the big three in the Northeast. You had the D&H, the Pennsylvania. Some of the Canadian national lanes came down here, but you go way back. There was a lot of short lines that my friend John is more familiar with. But the two biggies were the Pennsylvania and the D&H, of course, and then the New York Central, which was very important to this area, especially in the passenger lines. Even currently, there is Pan American Lines, who runs the rail between Deerfield and Mechanicville. And they run excursion trains now and then from your area into Mechanicville. They do a turnaround and head back. That temporarily is on hold now because there has been a cave-in in the Hoosick Tunnel, which is where they pass through.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, the other thing is that for many, many years, passenger trains, as a rule, are not a profitable operation for rail lines. Most of the money that came to, even since the beginning, actually, most of the money that came to most of the rail lines in the United States was freight-related. And so that's why, and passenger sort of was an ancillary service that was provided. Obviously, back in the day when there were very few other modes of transportation other than a stagecoach, passenger trains certainly were a great improvement over what was available, but with the 50s and the interstate highway system, that really was the rapid demise of passenger trains in the United States.
Well, I'd make a point, though, that if you want to go fast in a train, you can take the Amtrak from the Acela from New York City over to Boston. And in eastern Rhode Island, I was on it, and it did 150 miles an hour.
That's a good clip.
Well, that's a good clip. I'm a little slow by European and Japanese standards, but still, it's as fast as you're going to go in the United States.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, Mark. Our number is 800-348-2551. Did I see that the Acela is shut down temporarily for the on the virus
scare?
Yes,
it is. I got a buddy of mine who actually works for the railroad, and yes.
That must be, though, when it's running, that must be quite something to go 150 miles an hour on a train.
Unfortunately, it's just in that one area.
Yeah.
In eastern Rhode Island, where it's real straight. And
now, if you go to China, you can go 400 miles an hour.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to China anytime soon. So let's take a break.
Well, there's nothing to stop it. Everybody's home now in China.
Well, there you are. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. It's the train show. And more on the way. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's Trains Today with, Jeff Stedge is here. John Basile is here, and Doug Bafaro is here. And Doug is not all that happy with me. I've irritated him already, and the show has barely begun. What happened?
Well, Ray, essentially on your intro, you did mention how you were surprised at how popular model trains have been. And
Hold the phone. I was surprised that this show is a popular show. I wasn't surprised about model trains.
Anything associated with model trains.
Really?
And the fact that the hobby has been around for over 120 years. I mean, even John was saying, you know, you had electric trains back in the 1880s. So for any hobby, for any object or any subject to be that popular for that long, there's definitely got to be a following. And we're seeing it now. A lot of people thought that it was on its way out. But we're seeing now with the shows that are going on, the amount of kids that are showing up, it's definitely back on the rise again.
The subtext of what you're saying is you're really not happy with me at the moment.
not happy. Just
right.
Just
I love
wanted,
you, Ray.
Just wanted to correct. Just wanted to correct that
right,
misnomer.
Man, just doing the intro to the show. Just kind of. Hey, the train show, by the way, is Saturday at the Polish Community Center. And what time does it begin?
9 a.m. 9 to 3.
All right, and there's a website.
There is, www.albanytrainshow.com.
All right, we'll get back to the phones here in a moment, 800-348-2551. Doug is staying here for now, but he may be running out the door. He's right by the door of Studio A. Before we get back to the calls, and it's extremely popular, don't get me wrong, and there's going to be a lot of calls. Jeff, you had some homework the last time.
I did. You know, interestingly enough, we get a lot of calls in about different things like, hey, what about that station over in Colony?
I think I brought this
one up.
I think
you did.
Yes,
actually.
I'm sorry. So, I apologize. Now I'll apologize to John, I apologize if I've wronged you as well. So
you don't have to apologize to me.
Never happened.
Right? All right, fair enough.
So, yes, there was a small station, and it was Amtrak. Penn Central originally opened it, and it was right off of Albany Street there, where Yonder Farms is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Near the New Carner Road post office,
correct.
Sort of on the other
that
side,
right.
There, right?
Yep. Across the road from that and down a ways a little bit, and there was a couple of warehouses. And it was actually a long road that went down to the track itself.
Yeah.
It was a very short-lived station. It was only there for 10 years. It was erected in 1969. They stopped using
and
it in 1970.
Why did they stop using it?
Well, I think what ended up happening was is that they had gone over to the
one across in Rensselaer, right?
Well, the new Amtrak Schenectady station was reopened.
Oh, I see.
In 1978, and that was the end of the station over there in Colony.
Makes sense.
So that's one thing. Somebody had called in about a tunnel in Bloomingburg that they had rumored that there was a collapsed tunnel when a train had gone through, a passenger train.
Yeah.
Remember that guy calling and
yep.
saying that? And he said that, you know, he always wondered about that. Well, that was not the case. What actually had happened was that tunnel was erected by the New York, Ontario, and Western in 1871.
Hmm.
And it was quite a long tunnel. It was actually 3,855 feet long. And what happened was is that it continued to flood. And eventually there was a rumored drowning there.
Oh, interesting.
And they tried to seal off the north portal of that, but it was a defunct, derelict tunnel.
There you go.
Nobody was injured in the making of that tunnel, kids.
You know, I remember, what is the longest tunnel, the railroad tunnel in the U.S.?
That is a good question.
Here's why I asked. While you think about that,
California.
When I was a kid, we took a train ride from Chicago to Seattle. And I think it was the Empire Building or
yes,
Ohio
the Empire Building.
One was one way, one was the other way. But somewhere in the northern Rockies, I believe, we went through a very long
yes.
railroad tunnel. I mean, we were underground for a long time. And I just
8 days?
No. I mean, I was 10 years old.
Oh, so could have been 8 days.
It seemed like a long time, but it seemed like miles. I mean,
okay.
Is that possible?
Yes, it could have been. I don't know the name of that tunnel, but I know that there was a fairly extensive tunnel through there.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Trains today with Doug Bafaro, Jeff Stedge, and John Basile. And let's go back to the phones right now. We go to Ted in Shelburne, Vermont. Ted, you're up.
Yes, thank you very much. I have, from around 1950, a Lionel says 2020 under the engineer's window, heavy. It's not perfect, not a cream puff, but it's probably would work, and two lengths of curved track and the tender that goes with the locomotive. No, nothing else. Is it, I don't expect it's terribly valuable, but I'd love to try to put it in place where someone could do something or appreciate it. What do I have here?
Well, you got a train and two pieces of track.
What you essentially have is a Lionel. The 2020 was based, there was a model of the turbine steam locomotive that the Pennsylvania unsuccessfully ran for a while. Now, there's a first-year version of the 2020 that used a liquid smoke that Lionel got away from because of the volatility of the liquid needed.
What was it?
Yeah, I think this was the tablet.
All right, so the tablet would have been like 1947 and later. And
that's
the
right, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not an overly collectible piece. I mean, there's still a great-looking locomotive, lots of wheels, very cool-looking. And then, of course, later on, it developed into the 671 and the 681, which were also models of the turbine. Value-wise, probably no more than $100 if it's in really good shape, nothing broken.
Yeah, as I say, it isn't great, and the connecting bar but is there on one side. I mean, it's there totally complete on one side, but on the other side, it's missing the nut connection kind of the connecting bar onto the drive wheels. But other than that, it's complete. Anyhow, that's good, and I don't know if you, and I can probably find someone in this area that would be happy to adopt it.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You could try something like Craigslist.
Craigslist, okay. All right, well, Ted, thanks a lot for the call. Doug, before we get to the next call, you piqued my interest. Liquid that made smoke was too volatile. What was the stuff they were using?
Nitroglycerin.
Well, you're kidding me? No, no.
No, but it was a liquid. Actually, there was a boatload of it from a French ship in New York City that was supposedly to be delivered to Lionel, and the boat exploded.
Oh, my heavens.
Killed a number of people, boat sank, and so Lionel said, well, you need to try something else.
Then was that the reason for the explosion?
Was that liquid, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Boy, the toys in those days,
yeah.
Eh?
Don't try this at home,
all
kids.
All right, let's go to Mark in Pittsfield. Mark, you're on. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
I was listening to your show, and first of all, I'm a retired engineer for CSX Conrail, but I was listening to your show. You were talking about the pirate and Princess Bride.
Yeah.
And it's inconceivable that I should tell you that it's the Dread Pirate Roberts, not the Black
okay.
Pirate.
Okay.
You are correct, sir.
Well, now we're off the track.
I think one of the longest tunnels is the Weehawken or the Bergen Tunnel in Jersey going over in behind Hoboken.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How long is that tunnel?
A little over a mile, I'd say.
Okay. All right, Mark. Well, thank you very much.
Been over it many, many times.
Yeah. Did you have another? We're having a little trouble hearing you, sir. Are you on speakerphone?
Yeah. How's this, sir?
Slightly.
The West Point Tunnel is very, very interesting. And that caved in 35 minutes after I took a coal train to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been something.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir, for the call. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. It's Trains Today with John Basile, Doug Bafaro, and Jeff Stedge. Let's see here. Todd in Pownall, Vermont. Todd.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
How are you, Todd?
Good. I'm calling from Vermerica in Pownall, Vermont. I got a level from the Hoosick Tunnel that was my Grandpa Becker's. And it's real old, and it was a pitch level, I guess, you know, for the pitch on the railroad. It's about 5 foot, 10 inches maybe, and it's pretty worn out.
Cool.
I was just wondering anything about it, and it's worth that kind of thing.
Well, it's what's called railroadiana, and there are a whole group of collectors in that are looking at that kind of stuff, and if you got a, you know, you've got a history or provenance on it, so it would have interest to those kind of people.
Yeah, I heard of a few two people, one in the Bennington Photo Shop, but that sold out, and I was going to go to the Freight Yard Pub area where they got the train
alcohol
stuff down there and ask someone, but I don't know who to talk to, and I don't use a cell phone, and I don't go on the Internet.
Good for you. Gosh, Todd, you're my favorite caller of the day. Well done, sir.
Yeah, buddy.
Good job, man.
I don't agree with any of that crap.
Just curious, though, are there any markings on it, or is there anything identifying it belonging
there
to a certain railroad?
Well, where the level bubble is, below that, there's like a T and a letter A put together, and then there's some numbers on one of the heels of it, 15895, and some other markings on there. That kind of got my magnifying glass here. It looks
okay.
like U.S. Atlant AT. Just some numbers out and then like 11124.
Probably a U.S. Yeah. patent number.
Yeah, could be. Yep. I mean, one of the challenges you have with an item like this is, although it has a lot of historical significance, from a collector's standpoint, unless it's specific to a particular railroad or you have collectors that are interested in Hoosick Tunnel history itself, it's a big thing, just like you mentioned. I mean, it's 5 feet long, and it's one of those things that, you know, even if you have it on display, it's not like people walk
up
to it.
Beat up pretty good.
And being beat up pretty good. It sounds like it's more utilitarian and historical than valuable. You know, it's one of
those. I was going to donate it to to that museum down there near the Freight Yard Pub, but I don't really know who to speak to be honest with you.
The receptionist. Talk to her.
There's a caretaker in that museum.
Good luck in finding one.
There's a caretaker at the museum, Doug?
Yeah, I met him years ago, and I stopped in there. 4 or 5 years ago, so there's somebody in the museum he could make contact with.
Yeah, they might like this.
Todd. Hey, listen.
I've had it for quite a few years, you know.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. By the way, I didn't mention this. What did you bring today?
Flowers, right? We brought you some flowers.
No, those are not flowers.
So we have two things that date back to the beginning of not this century, but the prior century. These go all the way back to the very early 1900s. The station that we have here is made by a company called Marklin, which is a German company. Marklin started in about 1868, and they made mechanical toys, and they very much got themselves involved in model railroading. In fact, they were the first ones to standardize gauges for the width of the rails for model railroading. And this particular station that you see in front of you was from about 1903. You know, the interesting thing about it, and of course, I think we have a camera somewhere.
We're on video, but also our producer, Jackie Orchard, took some pictures.
She did
probably
take some
pictures on our webpage right now at Vox Pop.
So if you take a look at the inside of it, you're going to see where you have candle holders.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Back in the day, obviously, this was prior to electric lighting, and when you would have put electric lights inside to light the interior of the station, you would have used candles. And interestingly enough, what do you have? Smokestacks to let the smoke go out. So hand-painted, a beautiful example of an item from real early model railroading. There is a book called The Golden Art of Tin Toy Trains. And that golden era really ended it went from 1850 to 1930.
Yeah.
So this was right at the height of that. You know, people think of, you know, model trains as being in the 40s and 50s, but this was an exquisite piece of artwork that was done back then.
And whose collection is this?
This happens to be in my collection.
It's a very nice piece.
Well, there's one other important point. I think it's beautiful because of its pretty colors, hand painted, but it has glass windows.
Yeah.
And if you notice,
look at that.
Upper part of the station has etched clear glass windows, and the lower windows are rose colored, and they're also etched.
Yeah, beautiful.
So I mean, when you think about making that station, it's a lot of handwork
for a toy.
For a toy.
What was considered a toy. Now, last thing about this item is that this was a German company, but you'll notice that the lettering, and of course it's facing you and not me, but you should see a thing that says waiting room and telegraph and central station. That was made for the American market.
Right.
It was specifically made for a market outside of Germany. So What do you know from that? That they exported a lot of toys. And in fact, Marklin and another company called Bing and a couple of smaller manufacturers from Germany were really the large supplier of toys in the United States.
Now, this is in beautiful condition, really very little is by way of chip paint or anything else. Has this been refurbished?
This is not. This is actually, this is the real deal.
And what about the wood base? Did you add that later?
This is not wood. This is actually a metal
look
base.
Look at that. My heavens.
Yeah, it's a metal base.
All right, we have a B&O.
You ask about a wood base. Here's an early electric train from 1910, and it's manufactured by the Carlisle & Finch Company.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about Carlisle & Finch is it was the first successful electric train manufacturer in the United States.
Yeah.
And it started in 1895, but in 1915 was the last year they produced electric trains. Because World War One had the onset of World War One, they were an electric manufacturing company, and they made lighting accessories for ships, all kinds of ships,
mm-hmm.
for the Navy and for the Merchant Marine. And so that became so important to their business that they gave up on the trains.
Oh, yeah.
And it's probably a fact that some of the other competing manufacturers were producing better things, because this is really all handmade.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it's from about 1910, but it's electric, and it's rather crudely made, but it's got a wooden floor in the tender and in the locomotive. So it's wood, and it's tin, and it's a lot of handwork.
You say crudely made, but it looks beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, and they run.
Do you run them?
Well, I have not yet. I just got the track I need. This is a special
track.
You're
going to do it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got to get some video. We'll post it for the next show.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea.
If there is one. But there will be one, Doug. 800-348-2551.
I'll be here.
800-348-2551 is our number. The guys from the Albany Train Show, which is Saturday at the Polish Community Center, are here. Jeff Stedge, Doug Bafaro, and John Basile. And back to the phones we go. Chuck in Spencertown. Chuck.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, I have several HO trains from the 70s, and they've been sitting for, obviously like 40 years. Any words of wisdom before we get them back on the track and operating?
Well, you want to make sure that you lubricate them. That's the biggest thing.
Right.
You want to make sure that you use a solvent that will lubricate them, but they should work just fine. The wiring, you have to make sure that the wiring is good on them, but... Yeah.
The biggest thing is clean the wheels, clean the track, because it is your electrical connection.
Yeah, what do you recommend for the track cleaning?
Well, it depends. Do you still have the old brass track from the 70s? Is that what you're going to use?
I got the brass track, yeah.
Well, brass usually, they make a...
And switch to the silver, or...
Yes. If you can afford to buy silver...
use a flat stone, like a very fine stone. That's what they used to use for years on those, get it nice and shiny again. And the wheels just goo gone. And, go. Just do not use steel wool. Whatever you do, do not use steel wool.
Yeah, those little filings will get inside
there.
I mean, we sort of joke about that.
The
nickel track, but the reality of it is that's exactly the reason that they went over to that, because it doesn't tarnish the same way that brass does.
Ah.
It's much more resilient.
Yeah, I have a Marklin set that came from Belgium from my cousin who was in seminary in Belgium, and he brought back a set, and it has it's nickel, it's not silver track.
Well, Marklin track is probably what you have is probably what's known as C track. If you look between the rails, you're going to see a little bump that sticks up. So this is what uses third rail. Typically, HO is what's known as DC. However, Marklin, being European, uses AC, electrical power.
Okay.
And what it does is it powers off a center rail. And Marklin was very good about sort of making that third rail nondescript and not sticking out and being as obvious as Lionel with the O-gauge stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Chuck, we have to take a break here, but thank you for the call. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Trains. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's 800-348-2551 if you want to call in. And it's the Albany Train Show this Saturday. What's the time, Jeff?
9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
At the Polish Community Center.
Yes, sir.
And that's and on Washington Ave Extension?
225 Washington Ave Extension, just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Crossgates Mall. There'll be plenty of signs out.
All right, cool. By the way, we talked about the Acela stopping service, and Garrett wrote in saying, you know, the Acela has not been totally suspended yet. Publicly, Amtrak announced Wednesday that two more Northeast Corridor trains are being suspended, bringing to three the number sidelined because of curtailed travel, and said additional changes to the schedule are under consideration. In addition to the previously suspended nonstop New York to Washington Acela number 2401, other trains temporarily discontinued, the 2103, a 6 a.m. Acela from New York to Washington, and the 2402, that's the 4:30 p.m. Washington to New York. So there you go.
There you have it.
You're scoring at home. this one is from Joe. Subject heading the longest tunnel. Joe writes, the Cascade Tunnel, 60 miles
yes,
long.
He is correct.
Now, is that out in the Northwest, or mm-hmm. where is that?
No, I think it's in California. Isn't it?
Yeah. Is it?
Cascade Mountains, right?
Cascade Mountains are
so
up.
So maybe yeah. it's Washington That's, or Oregon. I don't
so
know.
That it's yeah. potentially that we could have gone through that one on the way to Seattle.
You could have, yes. Yeah. I think it is, yeah. It's 60 miles long. Yeah.
All right, and the last email, and then we'll get back to the phones here. This one is from Mike in Hinsdale. Ask the gentleman. I guess that's you guys, about Neil Young and his relationship to Lionel Trains. It's really fascinating, and I don't know anything about that.
Oddly enough, of all the people in the world, Neil Young became an investor and part owner of Lionel Trains.
Really?
Yes.
He was also involved with running R&D because of they were trying to develop a way where handicapped can operate trains because two of his sons are autistic.
Oh.
And so he became very involved in that. Matter of fact, when that one time they came around, and I forget what the concert was, but he did a concert in Saratoga and brought a train set with him that they set up in SPAC so that people could walk by and operate trains.
Oh, that's great.
And yeah, he was involved with it for quite a number of years. And
I never knew that.
He isn't anymore. I think he has separated from them since. But that was his main reason, was to be able to get his sons to operate trains.
That is a very interesting story. I had no idea. The number here is 800-348-2551. Michael in Rhinebeck, New York. Michael, you're on.
Hey, hi. Yeah, I got to tell you, please don't clean your rails with that steel wool. I made that mistake about 15 years ago. Not a good idea.
There you go.
But, yeah, my question is, at the show, I've heard two rumors, and I'm hoping that they're true. One would be that the Swayze Express train will be there, and the other is that maybe Sebastian Bach is going to show up.
Johann?
I haven't confirmed it. Excuse me?
No. I'm thinking of a different Bach. Go ahead.
No, I think you're thinking of a different show entirely.
Really? What is Swayze Train?
I have no idea.
No, never heard of it before.
What is that, Michael? What is it, man?
I'm sorry. Just look up Trailer Park Boys with the Swayze Express.
Okay,
gotcha.
Man.
It'll make you love trains again.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that one. All right. So. All right.
Somehow that got through, Ray.
Yeah, whatever. You know what? When you're that esoteric, you're going to get through, right? Nancy and Adams. Nancy, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call. Just want to comment to the fellow from Pownell.
Yeah.
I think his name was Todd, that had the memorabilia piece from Hoosick Tunnel.
Right.
The North Adams Historical Museum is no longer at the Heritage Park. It is on the first floor of the Holiday Inn on Main Street, and they do have an area for memorabilia from the Hoosick Tunnel, so I'm sure they would be interested in that.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know who the president is, but the two people I do know that work there are Eugene and Justina Carlson, but it's on the first floor of the Holiday Inn, so I'm sure, because I, too, don't use technology, I use a telephone. He could call the Holiday Inn and find out what the hours are and maybe make a connection, and they could maybe use it or whatever.
I think it's great that somebody else doesn't use this technology. Now you're my co-favorite caller of the day, Nancy.
Ray, they call me Dinosaur Lady because in the dinosaur days you didn't have technology. I don't have a computer, I don't have a cell phone, and I don't have TV. I listen to you guys all day long at work.
Well, I better up my game a little bit then, I guess. If you know.
The power of radio. There you have it, kids.
I grew up on radio. I'm on radio. So thank you very much.
God bless you, Nancy. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And now we go over to Liberty, New York. Deb, you're on.
Hi, I'm traveling. I'm from Ithaca, New York. My question is, I have my original Lionel train set for girls that came out in the early 1950s.
57.
I have all the cars and the track, and I'm just wondering if that has a value for collectors now.
No, it's junk. If you could just send it my way.
Wait a minute. Hold the phone.
We're pulling your leg, Deb.
No, that actually happens to be a very valuable set. And it's sort of equivalent to, if you remember, the Ford Edsel that came out when... Well, here's why.
No offense, Deb.
No, well, here's why. Because what happened was, is when they came out with the Edsel, it was such a futuristic car, and unfortunately, it just did not appeal to the masses. And Lionel, in an attempt to appeal to, obviously, little girls much like yourself, they came out with this pastel-colored girls' train set in 1957.
And they use the pills for the smoke.
Yep. It's got what's known as a 2037, which is the steam locomotive, but it's painted pink, and you have a nice pastel blue caboose with it, and you have a nice lavender hopper, and all of these beautiful pastel cars. Unfortunately, it just did not go over well, and because they did not sell a lot of them, guess what?
They're worth a lot now.
Exactly.
Ooh, and they didn't make a lot of them.
And they didn't make a lot of them, right?
I think they only made it for 2 years or something.
I think it was 57. I'm not sure if they even made it into 1958 or not. But I don't know if you have the set box for this. I don't know if you have the individual boxes for it.
I have the individual boxes for the cars.
Yeah, if you have the set box and the individual boxes, you know that this is one of those things where the whole is greater than the sum of the, you know, whatever I'm trying to say there.
Right.
So if you have everything together, there's a premium to that. Back in the day, and I mean probably about 10 years ago.
Was that the day?
That was the day.
Oh, I didn't know.
You were there, right?
Well, it only lasted one day.
It was only one day. It was about $7,000
$8,000. Wow.
Now, they've dropped considerably. No, I'm not kidding. They have dropped considerably. And you know, the three most important things with any collectible are condition.
Yeah.
So depending on the condition of it.
Well, for 60 years, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it doesn't have a lot of play wear to it, you know, you certainly still can get probably about $2,000 out of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah,
cool.
That's a great thing. I'm glad for the you called in. That's a great thing to have.
Yeah, I mean, they were mine. I got them 1 year for Christmas, probably that year. Yeah. I like to play with them, but, I mean, I didn't get to play with them a lot because of a place to set them up to run.
Sure.
And I'm the sole owner of them, but they have been boxed up and packed away.
That's great.
But I think I have it all.
Cha-ching. Enjoy, Deb.
Okay, well, I might just be leaving them to not the next generation, but the generation after that coming down.
Yeah, don't have them get them and then throw them in the garbage.
That would be bad.
That would be bad. They need to understand that's actually a nice, desirable, valuable set.
All right, and Deb, thank you for the call. This email came in from Rob. I inherited my father's Lionel trains from the 20s, which were last run about 55 years ago. They've been stored in camp trucks in a dry loft space. What's the best way to figure out their value? Locomotive cars, accessories, an oval track mounted on wood by my grandfather. These are not easy to take places, so looking for an online source for the values, and that's Rob.
Well, there's a couple things you can do, but first you have to look at the locomotives. All the locomotives have rubber stamping or raised lettering that tell you what the number of the locomotive is, and that's where you start. And if you want to find out about it, if you go to eBay, you put those numbers in and you look for other sales of that type of locomotive.
Or just Google the number. And then you have other sources, auction houses and whatnot, gives you an idea of current market value.
That's a good point. Yeah.
All right. And then one more email, and then we'll jump back here for the final stretch of track on this program. This is from Mark. For the person who has the interest in the old, no longer used train tunnel in Bloomingburg, there is a similarly long active train tunnel just about 4 miles away in Otisville. Or is it Otisville?
No, it's Otisville.
It is a train tunnel that's part of the Metro North Port Jervis line. It allows commuter trains to pass underneath the entire village. Do you guys know that?
I did know that. Otisville, named for Otis the dog, I think.
Otis the dog. Well, the way it's spelled here, it's two T's, and that's what threw
me
off.
Oh, no, I think it's O-T-I-S. I don't think there's two T's.
I thought it was the drunk from Mayberry.
It could be him, too.
Okay, let's go over to Jim. Jim in North Adams, you're on.
Yes, I just quickly wanted to comment on the fellow calling again from Pownell with the level that was owned by his grandfather.
Yeah.
Working in the Hoosick Tunnel. I'm on the board of the North Adams Historical Society, and a lady mentioned 5 minutes ago, I agree, Google the number for the society.
He doesn't have a computer.
The president of our group is Chuck Cahoon.
Spell that
and
for
Chuck
us.
And Chuck is a virtual walking encyclopedia on the Hoosick Tunnel.
Okay.
He would be glad to hear about the level. And it might actually be part of a presentation piece with our grouping, and we would put, ascribe the fellow's name on it and so forth, and it would be a really good placement for an artifact on the Hoosick Tunnel.
Well, here's the thing, Jim. Now, Todd in Pownell does not have a computer or a cell phone, but why don't you, if you get a chance, email us, voxpop@wamc.org, put your contact phone number down. And if Todd from Pownell calls us, we'll put him in touch with you, okay?
I will do that, and thank you very much. Great show.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Now over to Richard in Scaticoke. Richard.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I had a question about the Hoosack Tunnel. I know a short while ago it was closed because of some sort of cave-in or whatever. Has it reopened?
Not at this time. I think they're still repairing it. I think they're trying to figure out what they're going to do to repair it, actually. Any other comments? Doug?
Well, there was a couple. Actually, over the past years, there's been some small, I guess you could call it a cave-in, but this one, the last one, was significant enough to close the Hoosick Tunnel down for a while. And as far as I know, it still is.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what happens is in the inside of the tunnel, the way the infrastructure is held together has become dangerous. So it's not just a question of patching it up. I mean, this is a significant repair. They're talking about actually taking a section of the front of the tunnel off.
Mm. Okay, Richard, thanks a lot for that one. We go to Lincoln. Lincoln, where are you calling from?
I'm actually in North Bennington right now looking for a VRS detour train because of that Hoosack Tunnel. Story there.
Okay. You have a question?
Yes. My question is, I have a Marklin passenger train set I got from my relatives in Germany in the mid-70s. It's been put away for a long time. I was wondering where I could get it serviced.
That's a very good question. You want to...
What is it HO gauge? Is it...
It's a HO passenger set. It has a... what would be called an Aero 1 V220 diesel engine, double-ended passenger engine with three passenger cars. That's what it was. And I got a whole bunch more after that, so I used to have a pretty big setup, but I sold off most of my track and everything else. But I still have the locomotive and the cars, and I'm just not sure if the engine runs very well.
So here's the question. Have you tried to run it? Have you tried to hook it up and run it?
No, not in about 30 years. And even then, the relay inside that makes it automatically reverse, the way Marklin trains, you have to click it to the left to get this relay. That wasn't really working that well.
Hmm.
You know, unfortunately with Markland, here's the story. You have different eras of Markland, and so what you have is from the 1970s, and it's pre-digital stuff, obviously. You know, everybody that's
right.
running Markland.
I know they went digital.
Right, yeah. So everybody runs Markland trains now, runs the digital stuff. That stuff, it's not really old enough to be considered collectible, but it's not new enough, obviously, to be digital. So it falls in this netherworld of a chronology of when they manufactured that. So the difficulty that you have is not so much servicing it, but getting parts for it. What I would do is I would Google Markland repair. I'm assuming that, okay. unlike Todd, you do have a computer and indoor plumbing.
No, sure, wait a minute. Yeah. Todd has indoor plumbing. Come on, cut it out.
Because okay. if you do, that's going to be the first go-round, is to try to find somebody that can take a look at it, and or at least you can contact somebody. You okay. know, if you were in Europe, it would be different. You know, that there's a lot of repair places over there for it, but, you know.
All right. Thank you for the call. Very quickly, let's go over to Alice. Alice has been waiting a while here. Alice, you have about a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a series of N-gauge trains. Was given to me. They're probably 40 years ago. I put them away, never played with them, and I didn't know whether they had any kind of value.
N-gauge is more of an operator's than a collector's
That's
gauge.
That's smaller than HS?
Yes. It's quite tiny.
Yeah.
That's why I can't work on them anymore. My eyes, I can't focus on them. But they, I mean, it's a popular gauge. There's a number of people out there that run N-gauge, but as far as like any collectible value, there's none whatsoever. And there's also the fact is you had different manufacturers of them, and some of them very good, and some of them they'd maybe run a couple of years and they'd stop running.
Yeah.
And it's really not worth fixing. So I guess the first thing we'd do is see if they still run.
Okay. And just play with them instead of worrying about selling
I would.
Them.
Yes. Yep,
absolutely.
Right.
You'll get much more enjoyment out of them, believe me.
All right, Alice, we'll have to leave it there. All right, gentlemen, one more time. Tell us when and where the Albany Train Show is happening.
Albany Train Show this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Polish Community Center, 225 Washington Avenue Extension, Albany, New York.
And what's the website?
www.albanytrainshow.com.
Well, boys, you've done it again. It was another successful program. I will be skeptical no more, Doug. You can write that down. Support comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, European styling, and prescription and non-prescription sunglasses. Eye exams by appointment, EYEDENTITY, eyewearalbany.com. At the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, celebrating 30 years of protecting the land that protects the lake, offering more than 35 miles of trails for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration, lglc.org. Once again, thanks to Jeff Stedge, Doug Bafaro, and John Basile for joining us today. Thank you for listening. As always, great train calls, and we'll do it again. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who has been our engineer. Thanks to Jim Harrison for answering the phones. Our producer is Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, join us as the executive director of the Irish American Heritage Museum, Elizabeth Stack, talks Irish foods with us on a Food Friday. Oh, we'll have the soda bread, the shepherd's pie, and whatnot. It's a St. Patty's edition. Right now, stand by for the Capital Connection.